Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stay with us and join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'll be giving out those numbers periodically throughout the program, but you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Get you on the air live. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray, Father, that you would bless, Lord, help us to be an encouragement and help to somebody tonight. And Lord, we do pray that you'd use something that we talk about in the program tonight to help reach somebody with the gospel that they might trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. Thank you again. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be on with you tonight. Hope that we are a blessing to you, and you certainly are a blessing to us. We enjoy hearing from you. And again, we've mentioned from time to time, if you want to get in touch with us or check out some more information about the program, you can always log on to our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel, Maple Knoll spelled MAPLEKNOLL.us, or better yet, come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And if you can't make it on Sunday, come out Friday night for our Friday night Bible study. And we do what we do on the radio program here every Friday night, just talk about the Bible and talk about current events in light of God's Word. And that's the purpose of the program. Wanted to lead off with an article that I saw online. It really caught my attention because it's not often that you see somebody that you know the feature of a major article online, but I was looking at some information, and the Jerusalem Connection posted an article about a church in Bethlehem there in the West Bank of Israel, and they were closed by the Palestinian Authority. And the headline stated, Arab church that backs Israel, shuttered by Palestinian Authority. And that caught my attention. I was looking at the JerusalemConnection.us. That's an excellent website. It's got some good information about what's happening in Israel and what's happening with the Palestinian situation over there. But as I began looking at it, it said that the First Baptist Church in Bethlehem was ordered closed by the Palestinian Authority on Saturday. And I thought, wait a minute, First Baptist Church in Bethlehem, I know about that church. In fact, the guy that started that church once preached in our church here in Richfield, Ohio, once years ago. I'm talking years ago, probably back in the 80s. And some of the people here in the Cleveland area that go to Cleveland Baptist Church, and I think he may have been at a few of the other churches in the area, would know the name Nam Curry. And he's a gentleman of Arab ancestry who embraced Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And a number of churches here in Northeast Ohio actually helped support him and helped build this church, helped supply him with Bibles and all sorts of things to build this church. And so, well, what did they do that the Palestinian Authority, because, you know, there's such freedom of religion in the Palestinian territories there of Israel, and so what could they have done that the Palestinian Authority came in on Saturday, I think it was about Saturday a week ago, the article was around about the 14th of March, so it was probably about Saturday a week ago. Well, here's what happened. There was a report in the Jerusalem press where a particular rabbi of the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations. It would be a Messianic Jewish rabbi by the name of Resnick, and he had a meeting with Pastor Stephen Curry, who is the son of the pastor, the senior pastor, First Baptist in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem sounds familiar. It ought to, because this is, of course, the Bethlehem of the Bible. This is the Bethlehem where Jesus Christ was born. This is the Bethlehem that we talk about in our churches every year at Christmas time, and where we talk about the journey of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, where Jesus Christ was born. And here in Bethlehem today, this is what's happening. And Stephen Curry said that a representative of the Palestinian Authority showed up at his father's church in Bethlehem and told him to shut the doors. And he said they were closing down the church. Now, this, I would like to say, is unprecedented, but this has happened in various parts of the Islamic world before, and they didn't give him a choice. They didn't come in and say, we're closing the church down because, well, you know, we feel there's too many churches here, or we feel that, you know, you don't have enough people in your church, or whatever the reason. They just came in, and they said they're closing down the church, and they wouldn't give a reason. And they basically gave them an ultimatum. The church will be closed or else. Well, here's what happened, what they're speculating, at least. Stephen Curry mentioned that just before that, there was a Christ at the Checkpoint conference organized and hosted by Bethlehem-based Christian leaders. I said, wait a minute, what's that got to do with this? Well, these Christian leaders were those who in particular do not support the nation of Israel. Now, there's a theme called the Christian Reconstructionism, they believe that the Christian church has replaced Israel. Now, some people who follow this, they accept the nation of Israel on the basis that it's an ally, that it's a democratic outpost there in the Middle East. But as far as the Jewishness of it goes, they have no real support for that because they don't believe that God is doing anything with the Jewish people or has any plans. They believe that because Jesus was crucified and the Jews rejected him, God's rejected the Jewish people. And that certainly is anti-biblical, and it's contrary to God's word. God enacted a eternal covenant with Abraham and his descendants through his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob, and then through the 12 tribes of Israel. And there's a particular land which Israel occupies a small portion of today that the Bible says one day will be the Jewish state, where God will set it up. It will occupy the entire portion that God had for them. That it's God's land, and that he will open it up for them. And when the millennial kingdom of Christ occurs, Jesus Christ will rule from a throne in that city of Jerusalem, surrounded by the Jewish people. And in effect, Jerusalem will be the world capital. And this group, the Christ at the Checkpoint group, they've rejected all of that. They believe that the church has, or Christians have, inherited all of the promises that belong to Israel, and that God has kicked them aside. And so they apparently don't like the fact that Pastor Curry supports Israel. And, of course, the Palestinian Authority, they weren't too thrilled with that either. In fact, back in 2009, Stephen Curry was interviewed by CBN, that's Christian Broadcasting Network, on the suffering of Bethlehem's Christians, and without getting into that right now, but he pointing out that there's some real problems there. I can remember reading a book by Brigitte Gabrielle, and she was talking about growing up in Lebanon as a Maronite Catholic, non-Muslim. And even though she was put in the Christian category, as she said that growing up, they despised Israel. And I've read other things where people in the Gaza Strip and in the West Bank and places like that, Palestinian-controlled areas, where even though they may not be Muslim, they may consider themselves Christian, they despise Israel and the Jewish people. And that's because the anti-Semitism that the devil has infected some churches and stripes of Christianity with, and as well as people who really aren't Christians but call themselves anyways. But First Baptist there in Bethlehem, Israel, in the West Bank, or I'm sorry, in the West Bank, they support Israel because they believe and they taught, and it's a church which members mostly Arab, Palestinian, they call themselves, but they're Arab, ethnic Arab, and they are born-again Christians who love the Lord, and they understand the promises of the Bible, and they understand that in Romans chapter 11, that God said right here, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so," and this is future, "and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. And this, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." So there's a prophecy right there that God is going to one day reach the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and I'm sure not every single one of them will embrace Christ as their Messiah, but the vast majority of the Jewish people who are on earth at that time, and this is yet a future event, are going to embrace Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And a lot of people, even some good, well-meaning people, people maybe genuinely born again, reject this teaching. They believe that because the Jews killed Jesus, that they were rejected by God. I got a newsflash. Who do you think killed Jesus? Well, was it the Jews? They might have turned him over, but it was a Roman soldier, a Gentile, that drove the nails into his hands and into his feet. It was the Romans that lashed him with the cat of nine tails. It was the Romans that jammed the crown of thorns on his head. But let's go make it even a little more personal. It was you and I that killed Jesus. Every single human being that's alive, every single human being that has ever lived from the time of Adam down to the present, and all those that will live, we're the ones that killed Jesus. Because the Bible says Jesus went to the cross for one reason and one reason only. Not because he was betrayed by the Jews. Not because he was nailed to the cross by the Romans. He went to the cross so that he could bear your sins and my sins on the cross, so that he could shed his blood to pay for your sins. And that's why he died on the cross. So that's the answer. Your sins, my sins, killed Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so the next time you say hear somebody saying that God rejected the Jews because they killed Jesus, stop and remember, you know what? We killed Jesus. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. He took our place. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul is giving us the definition of the gospel, he says in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." But did you catch that there in verse 3? He said he died for our sins. That's yours, that's mine, that's Paul's, that's every single person that ever has lived or will live. That's why Jesus went to the cross. We killed him, but he willingly went to the cross where he could shed his blood to pay for our sins. And he of course, rose victorious over sin and death, and he offers salvation to all who believe. In fact, the Bible says, and this is one of the reasons we do this program, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 19, he says, actually, let me back up a little bit. Verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." And I like this last verse in the chapter, verse 21 here. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus willingly went to the cross and was made sin for us when he took our sin upon him. And he purchased our salvation. And so my job and your job, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, is to be an ambassador for him, to tell people what Christ has done, and to be an ambassador sharing this ministry of reconciliation that God has given to us as his children. Well, that got me thinking there, and certainly pray for First Baptist Church in Bethlehem, and pray for Pastor Curry, and pray that God will open those doors that the Palestinian Authority has forcibly closed. And I haven't heard any follow-ups to this as yet. Perhaps there's somebody here in the area that has a little more closer ties or more recent information on this, and maybe we can find out a follow-up to this question or this story, this situation at a later date. But do pray for them, and pray for all of those there in the Middle East that are struggling in a very hostile environment to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we welcome your call toll-free, 888-677-9673. Get you on the air tonight, 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you and hear what's going on and what questions you might have. That's one of the backbones of this program. Certainly being a pastor, I can talk all night, and that's no problem to do that, but one of the reasons we're on the air is we want to help you. We want to help you understand the Bible. We want to help you make sense of what's happening in the world. Oftentimes, things seem to be senseless, but really there's a lot that you can understand with a strong biblical worldview. So give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And one thing that you can do, sometimes people are a little shy about coming on the air, but if you'd like to leave your question with our call screener, and he'll post your question up there for me as well. But another thing that caught my eye this past week, and I share that with you, I was exploring also that the blog section there on the JerusalemConnection.us, and I'm going to have to get this linked into our latenightlive.maplenoel.us website for the radio program. But he was talking about, this was David Barton, talking about our current occupant of the White House, and this is titled "America's Most Biblically Hostile U.S. President." Now, of course, that caught my eye, and I thought, well, I got to take a look at this article, and I really wasn't knowing what to expect on this, but he led off with the recent attacks on Christians and people of faith over the forcing them to pay for the insurance for contraception and abortion, things of that nature. But in this article, he's got a huge list of acts. Well, it's divided into sections. The first section is acts of hostility toward people of biblical faith. The great thing about this article is he he footnotes each statement and gives you the documentation for it. Let me just give you a sample of these. On April 2008, Obama spoke disrespectfully of Christians, saying they cling to guns or religion and have, quote, antipathy to people who aren't like them. On February 2009, he announced plans to revoke conscience protection for health workers who refuse to participate in medical activities that go against their beliefs. And he fully implemented that plan in February of 2011. And what that means is, if you're a nurse and you're working at, Cleveland Clinic, or I'm trying to think of some of these other hospitals, Metro Health Center, for instance, that does abortions. That's the one I was trying to think of. Metro Health Center does abortions. And let's say you're a Christian nurse that works there. Well, prior to February 2011, you could opt out of participating in abortion and abortion-related procedures on basis of a conscientious objection. Not anymore, thanks to current president. We have taken away. Well, April 2009, speaking in Georgetown University, he ordered that the monogram symbolizing Jesus' name be covered while making his speech. On May 2009, he declined to host services for the National Day of Prayer, which incidentally was established by federal law at the White House. I do believe last year he did observe the National Day of Islamic Prayer at the White House. April 2009, in an act of disrespect, he nominated three pro-abortion ambassadors to the Vatican, which, of course, the Vatican rejected their credentials, being pro-life, the Vatican being the seat of the Roman Catholic Church, which a lot of people don't realize is actually an independent country. Mussolini, during World War II, actually granted the Vatican independence, and it's an independent state existing within the city of Rome in Italy, and we have ambassadors there. And then, of course, and I've seen the video of this, October 19, 2010, he began deliberately omitting the phrase about the Creator when quoting the Declaration of Independence. And the interesting thing with that, it's not a case where he missed it. He purposely eliminated it. I remember watching the one, and in the declaration where it says, we hold these, a second paragraph of the declaration says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in the couple of videos that I read or saw when he was quoting this, he said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed. And he paused and pursed his lips and kind of grimaced as if he was looking at something distasteful, and then said, with certain unalienable rights, that among the these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he paused and purposely neglected to say, he self-censored himself from saying the Creator. And he made that at least seven times that were documented. November 2010, he misquoted the national motto, saying it's E Pluribus Unum rather than In God We Trust. Then on January 2011, after a federal law was passed to transfer a World War I memorial in the Mojave Desert to private ownership, has a cross on it, went through the courts, and the Supreme Court ruled that the cross and the memorial could continue to stand, and the land would be transferred to private ownership, no longer be on federal property. The Obama administration refused to allow the court-ordered land transfer to take place and refused to allow the cross that in the meantime had been torn down to be re-erected as ordered by the court. And these things are constantly happening within this administration. And if you'd like to call, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got just a couple of minutes left in this segment, and we'll get to our calls, I think, maybe in the next segment. But let's go ahead and take John here first. I think he's already on the board waiting. And John, are you with us?
Yes, hello. How are you tonight?
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Yes, I was listening to your comments about Bethlehem at the beginning
yes, sir.
Of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, do you feel the Jews will have God's favor if they bomb Iran?
Will they have God's favor if they bomb Iran? Well, it could be that maybe God is using them as an instrument of judgment against Iran. And if that's the case, if they're doing what God has them to do, then I think absolutely they would have God's favor. God certainly has raised up enemies against people who have tried to attack Israel. You know, I'd ask a question, where's the Soviet Union today? You know, the Soviet Union persecuted the Jewish people intensely, and they don't exist today. And Germany, of course, under the Nazis, persecuted the Jews intensely, and their country was divided for decades as a result of that. And certainly the Nazis completely lost power after that. They tried to destroy the Jews. I think that if they're doing what God wants them to do, yes, they'll have God's favor. We do know that in Ezekiel chapter 38, Iran is going to be destroyed at that time. There may be some damage that occurs to it beforehand. John, we're coming up on the break. Appreciate the call. And those of you listening, stay tuned. We got another whole segment here, another half hour, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, good evening. Welcome back to the second half of our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be here until midnight tonight. And of course, the telephone lines are open, and you can give us a call with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Certainly give you an invitation to visit us there. And also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that's State Route 82, and in the Cleveland, Ohio area, just south Cleveland. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And if you visit or talk to Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton, let him know you heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also want to mention something else that's coming up. We have some people who homeschool or have friends or family members who homeschool. Now, this is something in particular you might be in if you're here in the Northeast or interested in. If you're in the Northeast Ohio area or within a couple hours drive of Akron, Ohio, the Akron Fossils and Science Center is having a science fair coming up May the 5th. And this is for, well, for homeschoolers, and you can go to public school and go there too. Anybody that wants to get involved, log on to akronfossils.com. That's akronfossils.com. Akron Fossils and Science Center is located in Copley, Ohio, just west of Akron, Ohio, and just off, probably between Route 21 and Interstate 77. And you can find out information how to get in touch with them at akronfossils.com. Find out about their coming science fair, May the 5th. And if you would like to give them a call, you can call them at 330-665-3466. That's 330-665-3466. And you can find out where they're at. You can find out about the Creation Museum that they have. A lot of people don't realize there's a Creation Science Museum right here in Akron, Ohio. They have a lot of other activities there. And call or visit their website at akronfossils.com. Learn more about Akron Fossils and Science Center and their upcoming science fair, May the 5th. And that's available if you're a homeschooler, public schooler, have an interest in creation science. Invite you to check that out. And let's see, we're going to talk about a couple other things here this evening we were talking about. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. And it's one of those things that I kind of wish I was wrong about. Last week we were talking about the individual accused of killing 16 Afghans in the middle of the night, the American soldier, and we were talking about and speculating that, you know, we probably won't see the level of riots and protests that we did when the Army base where they found the burned Qurans. Of course, as I always like to point out, they were Qurans that were desecrated by the Muslim prisoners of war who had written in them and written code words in them, which, of course, according to Islamic tradition, desecrates the Quran by writing in it like that. And the proper way to dispose of a desecrated Quran is to burn it. And so, if anything, they were doing them a favor. I know that wasn't in their mind when they did that, but the level of protests that took place after the burning of these Qurans, desecrated Qurans, and the people that were killed as a result of that was far greater, it seems, than what's happened as a result of somebody killing actual people. And that's a sad commentary that the killing of 16 people doesn't seem to excite or inflame the passions of the people there more than the burning of some desecrated Qurans. But we certainly should Pray for the individual that's accused. There's a Staff Sergeant Robert Bales that's been accused of killing these people. And of course, in our country, under our rule of law, a person is innocent until proven guilty. And he is in Fort Leavenworth right now. And his family, of course, is under protection. There's threats made against them, I guess. And he is in Fort Leavenworth, and he's got a lawyer. They're going to be investigating the situation and trying to find out what's going on. And we don't know all the details. Still, things are coming out. He's got an Ohio connection. He lived for a time in the Cincinnati area, out the opposite end of the state from where we're at up here in the Cleveland area. But we do need to pray for him. We don't know the situation there. Conflicting accounts, conflicting stories, and best thing to do is allow the military justice system. They're under a different justice system than the civilian courts, and to allow the lawyers and such to go through, do their investigating, find out what took place there, and to certainly pray for this guy's family. You know, we don't know what happened. We don't know, did he snap? We don't know, is he falsely accused? We don't know. I mean, we don't know all the details, and it'll come to fruition, or it'll come to light. And just pray for the individuals involved that the truth will come out. And as I said last week, if this individual is guilty, we were discussing the death penalty last week and what the Bible has to say about that. And if this individual is guilty, if he indeed did this, then yes, this would be somebody who would qualify certainly for the death penalty under the interpretation of the Bible. So that's something that we need to be in prayer about, that the truth will come out. We'll know what happened there so that justice can be taken care of there in this situation. And I think the last thing we need to do is turn them over to the Afghans. They've been demanding that he be turned over to them. Well, he won't get a trial there. And, you know, we can always hope that maybe something exonerates him, but it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at this point in time. And certainly he's got a much better chance at a fair trial in the United States than he ever would in Afghanistan. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. Or if you've got a question and you don't want to come on the air, you can give it to our screener in there, and Derek will get it up on the screen for us. And somebody has done that. And we have a question on the presidential election again. Romney, of course, just won the delegates from Puerto Rico yesterday, I believe, and they've got some big states, Illinois and some others, up for grabs coming up on Tuesday. And I'm not somebody who follows sports a lot, but I do like to follow politics. And to me, politics is my sports, I guess. I was telling somebody the last presidential election when I was working as a poll worker at the election. And I said, for me, this is like the Super Bowl and the World Series and the basketball playoffs, you know, all rolled into one. I find it interesting, fascinating. I like to watch what's going on. And of course, the big thing right now is Romney versus Santorum, and people want to know. And of course, Newt Gingrich is there, and Ron Paul is there, and it looks like at this point it's probably going to be Romney. I was at a pastor's fellowship in Euclid here this past week, and it was kind of interesting. One of the speakers was saying, "Well, we got a choice. He was talking about, if you vote on the Democrat side, you've got a Muslim Christian, and then on the Republican side, in the primaries right now, we have a choice between a Mormon and two Catholics, and I'm trying to think what he said about Ron Paul. I'm not sure what his religion is, what his background is, but he was mostly looking at, he was talking about Santorum and Gingrich versus Romney. And, you know, for me, My guy's not in the race. My two favorites were Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann, and neither of them are there right now. And you know, we had the elections here in Ohio, and Romney won pretty much Ohio. And yeah, it's hard to say. Big thing comes down to me is the pro-life one. That's one of the big things for me. And Santorum has been consistently pro-life throughout his voting career, whereas Mitt Romney has not. Currently, Mitt Romney is pro-life, but in the past, he's he has been on the abortion side of things. Another big issue for me is the marriage issue, and Rick Santorum has been consistently for traditional marriage as laid out in the Bible, whereas Mitt Romney has not. Currently, he's talking that way, but he has not always been that way. And then certainly when we look at special rights for homosexuals, Rick Santorum has had a more biblical stance there throughout most of his career, where Mitt Romney, again, has not, but currently he has. And I think I said one time that Mitt Romney's been all over the map on all of the issues, and currently is on the conservative side of the issues. And one would hope that if he gets the nomination, and if he runs and successfully becomes president, that he will govern on the conservative side of the issues. But certainly, as with anything, there's issues. And so we're going to have to pray as Christians. Who do you vote for? And what does your vote do? In fact, what is going to happen with the results of your vote? You say, well, I don't like any of them. I'll vote a third party. Well, voting the third party puts President Obama in for another term. Then you have to ask yourself, was that a wise use of my vote? The fact that I helped put somebody back in office that has a record of being very discriminatory against Christians and very unfavorable towards religious freedom for Christians, you know, is that something that I want to help further along? And not only that, the next president is going to be nominating Supreme Court justices. They said, I was listening to somebody just this past week, said the next president will probably have at least a minimum of two Supreme Court justices, and possibly as many as three or four. And so you have to ask yourself, whoever I vote for, is that going to help put justices on the court? And not just the Supreme Court, but on the federal bench, is that going to put justices on the court that defend the Constitution and follow the Constitution, or is that going to put justices on the court that reflect President Obama's thoughts that, like he said, the Founding Fathers put too many things there, kind of paraphrasing here a little bit, put too many things into the Constitution that keep him from doing the things that he wants to do? And also his statements to the effect that since the Congress is acting as a check and a balance, like the Constitution says, and the courts are acting as a check and balance, as the Constitution says, since they're preventing him from doing what he wants to do, he's just going to go ahead and do it anyway, regardless of what the courts, regardless of what the legislature, and regardless of what the Constitution says. Do we want somebody whose Justice Department is against Christians? Do we want somebody who has a Department of Veterans Affairs who forbids references of God and Jesus at burial ceremonies at the Houston National Cemetery, as they did in June 2011? Or well, any number of things. I could go on about that. And but we've got another question that came in, and we've got a question that somebody gave us about the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, and again, if you've got a question, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, you can call us 888-677-9673. And in the book of Daniel, there's a question about an image. And there was an image, a great image, that the caller wants to know, does that represent the governments of the world? And the short answer there is yes. So we can move on from there, right? No, I think he wanted a little more information than that. And let me turn back here to Daniel just for a moment. And I'll find that that image there in Daniel as soon as I can get through Ezekiel here without going past Daniel for the third time. There we go. And here in Daniel, toward the beginning of the book of Daniel, in the earlier chapters here, we have in chapter number 2, there's a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has. And the dream affected him so much that he wanted to know the meaning of the dream. And in this dream, he had an image that had a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of part iron and part clay. And then while he was watching, there was a stone that came, and it struck the image on the feet, and the image broke to pieces and blew away like chaff, and the stone grew and filled the earth. And basically took over. Well, Daniel comes before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he gives the interpretation of it. And he says in Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse number 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. He says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." Now that sets the stage there. He's talking Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Babylon was a major world empire at this time. Now, obviously, they probably didn't rule over the islands of the South Pacific or down in Patagonia in South America or something like that. But for this part of the world where the Bible centers its attention, this was a world power. This was a major power. This was the major power of the time, of the day. And he identifies this head of gold on this image as Babylon, represented under King Nebuchadnezzar and symbolized by the gold, the head of gold. And he says that you are the head of gold. Then he says, after thee, in verse 39, he says, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to this, another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron." Do you see the pattern here? Each section of this image represents a world kingdom, the first kingdom being Babylon. Of course, the Babylonians were taken over by the Media-Persian Empire. That represents is represented by the chest, the breast and arms of silver. And remember, there is two parts to the Babylon or the Media-Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians. The Medes, if you want to know who they are today, that's the Kurds. If you've heard of the Kurds in the northern part of Iraq, also stretching up into Turkey, that's the Medes of the Bible. And the Persians, of course, are the Iranians. And they had an empire which conquered the Babylonian Empire. And the Babylonian Empire, the king of Babylon, whatever he said went. He could change his mind, he could speak anything, and it had to happen. But the Medes and the Persians, where he said that it's inferior to you, the Medes and the Persians, they were tempered by what the law was. And if something was entered into law, they could not go against it. Remember when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and the king wanted to, I think it was King Darius, wanted to save him, but he could not go against the law that had been written. And so he had to be put in the lion's den. Of course, God protected him, and Daniel survived. And then, of course, the kingdom after that, well, there's the kingdom of Greece under Alexander the Great. Greece came in, and the unified kingdom of Greece, they came in, they defeated the Media-Persian Empire, and they expanded to fill their territory for the most part and other territories. And then following the Greek Empire was the Roman Empire, the Roman Empire being the fourth kingdom. And as you go down, the head of gold, the the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, now the legs of Rome, or legs of iron, representing the Roman Empire, and strong as iron. And of course, the Roman Empire was noted for its use of the iron sword and the iron spears and things that they had, and they conquered the Greeks and most of the known world in their day. And interestingly enough, there's two sides to this empire, represented by two legs, and of course there was the eastern and western portions of the Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire was never really conquered. It sort of fell apart on its own, and that's represented by the going from the legs of iron into the feet of iron and clay. And this feet of iron and clay, he says in verse 41, it says, "Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom was partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." And this is thought to be the, well, we call it the revived Roman Empire, but it's the situation kind of in which we find ourselves in today, culminating in 10 kingdoms or 10 regions or whatever that will form, we believe, the final world government under the Antichrist. And so we're going into that day right now. And this 10 regions, it's interesting. I can remember back in the 80s seeing a chart where some globalist had divided the world into 10 administrative regions, and a couple different charts, each one a little bit different, but they liked that number 10, which could be symbolized by those 10 toes. And then, of course, that kingdom is struck with a stone. And the Bible says in verse 44 here, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. All these kingdoms shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God made known the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." That stone represented, of course, the kingdom of God with Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when Jesus Christ comes from heaven at the conclusion of the tribulation, and he strikes that revived Roman Empire, the Antichrist global kingdom, he strikes it and it's destroyed, and that stone expands to fill the earth. Jesus Christ will rule over the world from a throne in Jerusalem on Mount Zion as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that stone represents the final world kingdom, which will be the millennial kingdom with Christ as its head. And so that gives us a quick look at the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 3, and that image is carried out several times throughout several other visions in the book of Daniel. In fact, some of the accuracy of this parade of kingdoms from Babylon to Media Persia to Greece to Rome is so accurate in world history that critics have tried to say, well, it must have been written after the fact. How could it have been written beforehand and be so accurate? Well, it's because God gave it to him. And it's because it's revelation and it's prophecy, and it's been fulfilled completely in the past. And so it's no reason to believe that the final part won't be fulfilled as well. Well, join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.